Hello, Governor Chris Christie.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, where are you right now?
I am in Mercer County, New Jersey.
Are you worried about what might be happening tomorrow with the potential for flooding? I know about a year ago you toured the Passaic River area when there was a whole lot of problems there and flooding, and you said, we got to do something about this. Well,
Listen, I'm very concerned about what may happen there. In the interim, we put together a task force that has come forward with a whole set of proposals about how to deal with the flooding in the Passaic River area, and that report was just issued a few weeks ago. And so we're going to work on trying to start to implement some of those things. But in the immediate crisis we have now, I've already signed an executive order declaring a state of emergency in the areas around the Passaic River, the Delaware River, and in Bound Brook, in that area. And so we are going to deploy tomorrow National Guard assets and state police assets to all of those areas to make sure that we're on top of this crisis from minute one. We're not waiting for the rain to even start before we start to make our preparations and get all those assets in place.
We're talking with New Jersey Governor Chris Christie on WCBS. Governor, let's talk property tax relief. Are rebates still happening?
Yeah. In fact, we'll be giving rebates this May as direct credits on people's property tax bill. And I've said to the legislature that if they're willing to adopt meaningful health benefit reform in the public sector, that I will use all the money that we save, and under my proposal, we'd save $320 million, and use it to double the property tax relief that we're giving the folks next year. And so I think it's a simple choice. It's a choice I put up to the legislature, and hopefully they'll stand up with the middle-class taxpayers and not with the special interests.
And boy, I know we certainly can use property tax relief. The state does not really have it in its power to control property taxes directly because it's a town function. But I know you've been trying to get the towns to get in line with a 2% cap. How's that going?
Well, listen, it just started. The cap went into effect on January 1st. And we're working really well with the towns right now to try to make sure it happens. But pension and health benefit reform is really an integral piece to getting that done because it's a huge part of the cost in each town, and if we can get those back under control, then I think we have a real shot of the 2% property cap working and working really well and finally controlling property taxes for people in New Jersey, where in the 10 years before I became governor, property taxes went up 70%. We're not going to see that happen in a Christie administration.
Well, Governor, when we talk about pensions for public workers, what is fair for both sides, the public employees and the state?
Well, I think what's fair is what we can afford. Right now, our pension fund is $54 billion underfunded. And so if we do nothing, 30 years from now, this pension fund will be $183 billion underfunded, which means it'll be out of business. And that will not be fair to the people who are counting on those pensions. So we've asked for four very simple things. Raise the retirement age for non-law enforcement personnel from 62 to 65. To be able to eliminate COLAs, cost of living adjustments on pensions. Third, to increase for non-law enforcement personnel the amount you contribute into your plan to 8.5% from 3 to 5.5% that they do now. And fourthly, to roll back a 9% increase in the pensions that were given to folks 10 years ago by a Republican governor and a Republican legislature, even though they identified no way to pay for it. If we did those four things, we'd cut the pension deficit in half and ensure that it was going to be fine for the next 30 years.
Governor, following up, there were protests in Trenton last week, police and firefighters. You characterize them as greedy. Do you stand by that?
Listen, what I said exactly was that the rally was a me-first rally. We all have to make sacrifices in this, and that means everybody. And so from my perspective, everybody who's unwilling to do that is putting themselves first ahead of everybody else in the state. Everyone's got to be a part of the shared sacrifice. And what I said specifically on the greedy part was that their union has been greedy, not the individual people.
You know, but when you use words like greedy, some call you a wedge politician. Do you find that that's helpful?
Well, I find that it's the truth. And if some people are put off by the truth, then that's too bad.
Well, it's interesting to me. I mean, I know Governor Tom Kaine was your mentor, right? When you were a little kid in Livingston, you knocked on his door. It's a great story. He took you around, right? But his style is so different from yours.
Well, first of all, we're two different people. Secondly, he governed in very different times. Governor Kaine governed in the 80s in boom times when the economy was booming and the state's budget doubled during Governor Kaine's time because tax revenues were coming in such a high rate. I govern in a time where our state is broke. And so you've got to tell people some hard truths, and I'm telling them that. And I know that if Governor Kaine had governed in this time, maybe he wouldn't be saying it exactly the way I'm saying it, but he would be doing the same things because it's the only responsible thing to do. This isn't about driving wedges between people. This is about telling people the truth. And for too long, politicians haven't been telling them the truth. They've been telling them you can get everything that you want, and it won't cost you anything, and it won't hurt you. That's just not the way the world works. We know that, and in these times, it's not going to happen that way.
Governor, we solicited questions on social media, Facebook and Twitter, and several of them had to do with education. Teachers and the discussion of merit versus tenure. How do you define what is a good teacher?
Well, first of all, as a parent, we all know when we see a good teacher, and we all know when we see a bad one. We know that. We know it in every school that we've been in. But we put forward a very thoughtful educator effectiveness report that just came out this week. And we said that we should put judge teachers and evaluate them on two bases. 50% should be on student progress. Some of that includes test scores, some includes grades, other ways that you evaluate students. And the other 50% should be on the evaluation of teacher practices, actually watching the teacher in the classroom and seeing how effective they are, both in terms of their planning and their execution of getting children to learn. And I think that's a very thoughtful way to do it. I don't think that there should be any profession any longer, guys, where there's no reward for excellence and there's no consequence for failure. And unfortunately, the way the tenure system is set up right now, that's exactly what happens. You get paid based on how long you're there, not how well you're doing.
Governor, speaking of teachers, this is a little different category here, but a 14-year-old boy in your hometown, Mendham, made the trip to Trenton yesterday to beg the assembly, please don't take away my teacher, one of 20 teachers from the Commission for the Blind, set to be fired in June. Now, he says he understands the need to cut back, but to take away Braille studies and things like that, do you think, Governor, we should be asking more of our wealthier residents?
Well, I think, first of all, we're asking a whole heck of a lot of our wealthy residents already. The top 1% of taxpayers in New Jersey pay 41% of the income tax. We have one of the highest top marginal rates of any state in America, and we've raised taxes and fees 115 times in the 8 years before I became governor. So New Jersey has been adjudged by the Tax Foundation as the highest taxed state in America. So I don't think there's any more room to ask for anything more, folks, because you know what's happened in the 4 years before I was governor? $70 billion in wealth left the state. They left it to go to other states. We continue to do that. We're not going to have a tax base to support a government any longer. So these are tough times, and they call for tough decisions. But the wealthiest members of our state, top 1%, already paying 41% of the income tax.
We're talking with New Jersey Governor Chris Christie on WCBS. Speaking of other states, you recently called the governor of Illinois, Pat Quinn, a disaster. Pretty strong words. Do you regret using that word?
No. No, because what he's doing to the Illinois economy by raising income tax rates 66% is disastrous economic policy. And the context of the question was, are you afraid of losing jobs to Illinois? And I said, no, his economic policies, and he is a disaster. No.
Governor Chris Christie, we're getting the high sign because we have to do a traffic report. But by the way, I understand you said today that you love being governor because it means you can get through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah. It's one of the fun parts of it. I have to tell you, it's a fun part of the job.
Woman at a town hall in Hopatcong called you hot and sexy today.
Yeah, well, miracles happen every day, don't they?
Governor Chris Christie, thanks a lot. We had a great time talking to you. Appreciate it.
Listen, I appreciate the time, fellas. Have a good day.